folks are blessed who make the best of every day, living by their own philosophy. Everyone beneath the sun's found a way, and I have found the only way for me. I don't believe in fretting and grieving. Why mess around with strife? I never was cut out to step and strut out. Give me the simple life. Some find it pleasant dining on pheasant. Those things roll off my knife. Just serve me tomatoes and mashed potatoes. Give me the simple life. A cottage small is all I'm after. Not one that's spacious and wide. A house that rings with joy and laughter. And the one you love inside. Some like the high road, I like the low road, free from the care and strife. Sounds corny and seedy, but yes indeed, I like the simple life. Willing to be a farmer's wife. Kids calling me pappy, sure make me happy. Give me the simple life.
Oh yeah, give me that simple life. Well, I know the person we have on the line has lived that philosophy her entire life. I can happily say that she's a friend of mine. I've known her for many years, interviewed her many times. She has a brand new book out. It's called Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden. So let's talk to our special guest, Miss Susan Smith Jones. Susan, welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Well, Nick, it's lovely to be with you again, and they just don't write music like that anymore.
I thought you'd like it. I played it for you because I know it's one of your favorite songs from the past. Now, we have some others to play today, but I thought you'd like that as an introduction.
Perfect.
So, Susan, after all this time, tell us a little bit about you. Give us a little bit of your story before we get into the story of your book and all these things that you write about all the time.
Oh, gosh. So first of all, these are my real names, Susan Smith Jones.
That's good.
You should see it when I check in at hotels. They think I'm making it up. You know, for starters, I taught in the past 30 years at UCLA how to be healthy and fit to students, staff, and faculty. I then went on to write, 33 books now. It's 33 books. I was selected by the President's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition as one of America's 10 most healthy fitness leaders. See, by the way, some of the other award winners were John Wooden, Kathy Smith, Denise Austin, even President Ronald Reagan. And I'd say I'm in a unique position to testify on the efficacy of my basic message that health is always a result of the countless choices we make every day. Because, and you know this too, when my back was fractured in an automobile accident, my physician told me I'd never be able to carry anything heavier than a small purse, but I chose not to accept his verdict. And in 6 months, there was no longer any pain or evidence of the fracture. I soon regained my health and lifestyle. And I attribute my healing to my natural foods diet, my faith, determination, balanced living, and most importantly, my unshakable relationship with and deep connection to God. So since that accident, I've been traveling the world talking about my message that anyone can choose to be healthy, happy, peaceful, live a balanced life. And now I'm focusing on my last two books, this one especially, all about children's health and vitality. But even though it's started as a children's book, we now have discovered it's for children and adults.
So, I mean, I always think in terms of you living the philosophy that you have been talking about ever since. I don't even know how long we've known each other, but it's been a long, long time. We've done a lot of things together in the media and doing your books and interviews and promoting different companies and all that stuff. But, you know, how do you combine? Because you started doing this, I think, a little while ago, a few years ago, when you started talking more about your faith. So how do you combine faith and this lifestyle you're talking about? What role does faith actually play in your lifestyle?
Well, I'd say it's the hub of the wheel for me. Everything comes from my faith, and you know, every day I wake up, I thank God and my guardian angels for the day. I ask for guidance throughout the day, and as I go through each day, I stop every hour or two for about 60 seconds just to see, am I relaxed? Am I uptight? And have I forgotten that, you know, I want to share my life and inspire people from a light that's within me that you get, I get, we all get from God. So that's why in Joy and the Butterfly, I'm making it faith-based, not over the top, but just enough to inspire everyone to really look within and see that there's more to life than what they see with their appearances every day.
It's easy to forget that. It's easy to forget. I don't know if it was Wayne Dyer who said something like, we're spiritual beings having a human experience rather than the other way around. Or it could be the other way around. I'm sure you probably know more about that than I do. But, it's easy to forget the aspect of life that you talk about. That's why when you write things, it does touch the heart of so many people. So this particular book, Susie, how is this book different from the others that you've written? I know it's a children's book, but it's more than that.
Well, it's a novelette, so it's not like an illustrated book for young kids. It's got 18 chapters in the book.
Okay.
And so as I begin the book, at the very heart of my enchanting story, it's also interesting how I conceived of this idea. There's this bright, curious, and kind-hearted young girl whose life is forever changed when she encounters something you know I love a lot, butterflies. She encounters a magical butterfly named Violet. So what begins as this delightful friendship soon unfolds into a deeply meaningful journey filled with wonder, discovery, and life-changing lessons. Do you remember, Nick, when you were young, did you ever read Anne of Green Gables or see the movie Pollyanna?
Yeah, of course. But what do you mean when I was young, Susan?
When you were younger than you are
now. Thank you. That makes more sense to me.
Yes, of course. Sorry.
Yes, Anne of Green Gables. I know that.
Yeah, and I love that. And so my main character, Joy, is very similar to Anne of Green Gables, and it's set on a farm and also within this magical garden where Joy's adventures are anything but ordinary. And so with Violet, that butterfly, as her gentle guide, she explores a world where nature speaks, kindness ripples outward, and even the smallest little moments hold powerful meaning. And along the way, she meets magical friends, faces many challenges and learns to navigate life with courage, faith, and an open heart. And what I think what Nick makes it really special is its ability to meet readers exactly where they are. Because for children, it sparks imagination, builds confidence, and nurtures emotional and intellectual growth. And then for adults, it serves as a gentle reminder of what truly matters in life and inviting a return to gratitude, faith, love, and purposeful living.
For all the books that you and I have talked about in the past, and you've done so many, as you mentioned, all the ones that you've written, the one thing about this is, and it's very cool, is the illustration of it. I don't know. There's something that touches somebody. When you see the cover and you see the illustrations in the book, you've had illustrations in other books, but I think this one seems to, it's touched me anyway. So tell us a little bit about the illustrations and who was the illustrator.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was illustrated by Lee Fredrickson, and it's beautiful full-color illustrations. And by the way, for those children who can't read yet, let's say 2 to 5 years old, I have a chapter in the book called A Note for the Adults. And in that chapter, I give you over 100 questions that pertain to all the different illustrations in the book, because one of my many degrees at UCLA was a teaching credential, so that came in handy when I was writing this book. And you can go to these questions and go and then help the children who can't read yet look at the illustration, and then you might ask just the right questions that I give you if you need help.
Yeah.
For example, questions that, like, how many swans do you see in the pond? How many butterflies are on this page? What color is that wheelbarrow? What vegetables do you see growing in the garden? And so it will help build children's math and reading readiness skills. It helps with the ability to recognize shapes and colors, the powers of observation, build vocabulary, while increasing their knowledge and appreciation for nature, family, love, kindness, butterflies, and more. So the illustrations provide the opportunity to formulate questions. You can use my suggestions to nurture these important skills. But for adults, you see, it's totally different because it inspires, yes, the children to become thoughtful, compassionate individuals, and it reminds adults that joy is always, always within reach because of my enchanting storyline that came from, I don't think I ever told you this, a personal experience I had.
I was going to, you know what, it's interesting that you put it that way, because one of my questions, I started off by saying, you know, over the years, we've talked about things that have, the things that you write about many times have come from personal experiences you've had, and I was wondering whether this book, was there something that happened, an occurrence or something that actually motivated you to write it this way?
Yes, all right, and most people will never know this from reading the book, but I love to hike. I love to be out in nature. And one morning, literally, Nick, in the 1970s, I had a similar experience of saving a caterpillar that turned into the butterfly. Huh. This is how the book starts out.
Yeah.
Joy saves a caterpillar from harm. And then, basically, Joy is living the life I've always dreamed of and wished I had as a young girl, because she and her family escaped the hustle and bustle of the city life, moved to a farm in a small town, and then her experiences with her family, friends, her magical horse, her teacher, will inspire all the readers to look at the world through a more positive attitude. And what happened to me one day when I was hiking in the 1970s, as I was running down the hill here in Santa Monica on one of my trails, and I saw a caterpillar on the ground, and I jumped over to the side and fell because I didn't want to step on it. And then a couple weeks later, doing the same hike, I saw a butterfly and wondered, is that the butterfly that resulted from the caterpillar?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, over the years, all the characters, now I'm not sure if I want to admit this, but I will, all the characters in the story that you know, because you have one of the very first copies of the book, all of the characters came to life in my brain, all the names, all the characters that literally come to life, from a hummingbird to a dragonfly, a ladybug, a starfish, an eagle, zebra, alpaca, her wonderful furry friends that are her pets. They all came to life and helped me in guiding where this entire novelette should go from chapter to chapter. It was the most amazing process, and I know it was destined to be written.
Mm-hmm. So do you think you could have written this 20 years ago or not?
I think it wasn't the right time.
There you go.
Well, I've got that previous book, you know, for young kids from 2 to 9, called Vegetable Soup, The Fruit Bowl.
Yep.
Two books in one.
Yep.
A nutrition book. That's totally different than a novel or a novelette. And I call it a novelette because it's lighter, a little bit shorter, 152 pages, 18 chapters, like I said. And at the beginning of the book, Joy writes an introduction. And what she says in her introduction, and again in the afterword of the book, she says there's a happy secret divulged at the end of this book that will knock your socks off. But Joy tells everyone, Nick, in the intro and afterword, to keep it a secret from anyone who's not read the book yet, so they can discover this wonderful secret on their own. So this book will introduce readers of all ages, kids of all ages, young at heart adults, to the magic of nature and a world filled with simple pleasures and blessings everywhere, if we only choose to see it. So I help all readers to choose to see that you are surrounded by miracles and blessings every day.
So, Susan, before we take a break and play one of your favorite songs, tell people how they can get a copy of your book.
Well, it's available on Amazon, but I don't recommend getting it there because you can get the ultra-premium color copy if you go to my website. You can get it through Ingram Spark in hardback, paperback, ebook. It's the same price, but it's a much higher quality, and it's available at susansmithjones.com/joybutterfly.
Sounds good to me. I appreciate that you sent me both copies, the paperback version and the hardback version. They're beautiful, but the hardback is really nice to hold in your hands and feel that. So we're going to play a song for you folks. We're talking to Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. I've known her for many years. We've been on a number of adventures when it comes to book things that she's written over the years and interviews we've done together. So it's nice for me to have her back on the show again. And you found out right there how you can get a copy of this incredible book called Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden. So we'll play a song that she enjoys, and hopefully you'll enjoy it as well. I'm sure you will.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I,
are just like a couple of tots running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go and play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. Ooh, you make me feel so young.
All right, Mr. Frank Sinatra, and You Make Me Feel So Young. So why do you like that song so much, Susan?
Well, because it just makes me feel younger. Not only that, but if I had to pick one singer in the whole world who's my favorite, it's Frank, Blue Eyes. We're both Sagittarians,
okay.
And I had, and maybe we'll have time to talk about this, I had an experience in Beverly Hills when I met him that will knock everyone's socks off. But first, let me say this that nobody in the world knows. Every couple weeks, or every month for sure, I go down here in Brentwood to a little wellness center where they have a cryotherapy chamber. Do you know how you go in and it's 100 degrees below Fahrenheit and you stay for 3 minutes? You can choose to have no music, or you can choose to have music, and you can't stay in longer than 3 minutes. And guess what song I always have them use, play to get me through this chilling experience? It's What You Just Played.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know you were doing that. That's pretty cool. So does it make a difference? Does it make a difference?
It actually does. In my book, Hug and a Mug, my latest book, I'll tell you about that in a moment, but I have one chapter devoted to cryotherapy, whether you go in a chamber, you finish a shower with colder or cooler water.
Let me just play another tune. You're listening to Vantage Point, WXPM 98.5 FM and WXPM985.org. So we'll just let this song play here and see what it sounds like, and we'll be right back right after this.
Sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats how it yells in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Why not use your mentality? Step up, wake up to reality. Time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop just before I begin, 'cause I've got you under my skin. Yes, I've got you.
Susan?
I'm here, Nick.
There you go. So I was thinking when I was playing that song that, you know, when I read the book, and I've read other, obviously other your books, you have a way with words. Like you're able to express things academically, but in this particular book, you also bring a lot of the emotion of what it's like to see the world through the eyes of a kid. So talk to us a little bit about that.
You know, probably because I'm young at heart all the time, and I like to see wonder in life, and I work with children all the time, all over the world, and I know what children love, but I also know adults need to recapture the inner child that's within everyone. It's in you as you get older, but often we get to be a certain age, and we think we have to act really adult-like. And what inspires me, too, to write books, and this one especially, is I love to be out in nature. And so when I write, what inspires me, my creative process, is I always ask God and my guardian angels to help me in the process. So whether I'm walking in my backyard, working at my desk, or I'm the top of a mountain halfway through my early morning hike, I always carry a little tablet of paper and a writing utensil with me. So when ideas come to me, I write them down. And if I'm writing at home, this might sound strange, but it always helps me. If my kitchen is clean and organized and I'm not surrounded by clutter, you know, when I was a kid, my mom used to say to me all the time, if your kitchen is clean, your home is clean. So when this happens and I see clutter around me, I know I need to simplify, tidy up my living space, and then more ideas start flowing to me. And with this book, all of these many characters, as I mentioned to you before our little funny break, came to me in my mind, especially if I'm not sleep-deprived and I get ample sleep at night. They've come to me and helped me write Joy's journey in all the chapters, different storylines. And being a lover of nature and working with my angels for decades, some of the essential key lessons were that I wanted to get across to children and adults were how nature strengthens emotional wellness and creativity in children, how mental health benefits from kindness, gratitude, and bravery, how family reading builds trust and bonding. Why is it important for children to unplug from technology and social media as Joy and her siblings do in the book? How to deal with bullying and build confidence at any age? And how a caterpillar becomes a magical butterfly in the story, something that in each child and adult will help build confidence and happiness as they read this, because Violet, the butterfly, is like a heavenly messenger that teaches Joy how kindness, faith, gratitude, courage can transform her life and her whole community.
So, Susan, when you were a child, did your mom read to you?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so early on, yes, she read to me all the time. She read, and read. But then I know I was born to be a writer. I know it because early on when I was a teenager, I made a lot of money by babysitting.
Okay.
Yeah, and then from the babysitting, what happened is I would always bring, like Mary Poppins, a big basket over of magical things, including lots of books. And then, and the kids loved it. And then when I got a little bit older, what I did is, as a teenager, I started reading the books of Jane Austen. I loved them. And I knew early on, I knew I was born to be a writer, because reading Jane Austen inspired me to want to be a writer to publish books that inspired people all over the world.
I'm amazed about people's lives that there's always something that motivates them to do something, whether it's another person in their life, or it could be, as you said there, reading the books of Jane Austen, you knew you were going to be a writer. But there's always something in our lives that moves us forward, but we have to be open to it, I would assume.
Yeah, and that's the key right there, and that's what this book is about. There are miracles, blessings all around us every day, but most people, like you sort of mentioned early on, get so bogged down in their lives that they don't live mindfully, intentionally, and they're not aware of all the beauty that's literally around them. And if you can take a few moments a day, as I have Joy do in the book, and especially if you can be out in nature, but if not, in a corner of a bedroom, and just breathe deeply and slowly and slow down a little bit, and then open to the guidance that you get. Because honestly, I know everyone will agree with this, in a world that so often moves way too fast and feels too complex, this book, Joy and the Butterfly, invites every reader of all ages to slow down, breathe deeply, and rediscover the simple yet profound beauty of life.
So in other words, a person could use this, they could read to their child, they could read the book to the child will get the message, and as the child grows, they can read it on their own, can't they? And they can read it again. Seems like these are kind of eternal lessons that people should be learning and things that we need to repeat for ourselves.
Yeah, probably at about age seven to eight, they can really start reading this novelette on their own. And then they can read it to their younger siblings. And I'll give you a sweet little example of what happened not long ago. 'Cause you got one of the first two copies of the dozen that I got.
Well, thank you. That's very sweet. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. And then before that, I had proof copies that I just wanted to make sure it looked good. Were there any typos? And I gave those proof copies out. And I've had a lot of nice feedback from this. And I'll give you one quick example. About 2 weeks ago, a mom reached out to me I gave her a copy because I know she has two 10-year-old twin children. And Joy in the book is 10 years old and has a twin brother. So she read the book.
Our special guest today is Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. She's on the line with me, and then we'll finish our conversation with her. You're listening to Vantage Point. I'll play another one of her favorite songs that you enjoy yourself. This is Steve Tyrell.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad, thinking of you. Mm-hmm. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross, or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do for nobody else. Gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, a wonderful you. It had to be you. seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss. They just would not do for nobody else. Gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be, had to be you.
Yeah, Mr. Steve Tyrell, it had to be you. And we're going to go back to our phones and talk with our friend Susan Smith-Jones. Susan, welcome back.
And I love that song, written, by the way, in 1924 by Jones, no relation to me, and Kahn, K-A-H-N. Just great song.
Sounds good. So you were telling us a story about a mother.
Yeah, a mom I gave the book, I gave the proof copy to. She read it, and she loved it. And Joy in the book has a twin brother.
Okay.
And this mom has two children, and she gave them each a copy of the book. And once they started, she couldn't get them to stop reading. They were both captivated by the storyline and had a contest to see who could finish first. And as a result of these, her two children reading the book, they were happier in general, started looking for ways to show more kindness to themselves and others. These are life lessons in the book. And even asked their mom to get extra copies to give to their cousins and their friends. And then she further said to me that the daughter wanted to take art lessons because Joy in the book was a good artist. Her son wanted to learn how to play a sport because Blaze, Joy's twin brother, loved to play baseball with his friends. And then she finally told me that both of the children wanted to find special ways to get healthier, eat more fruits and vegetables, because those were Joy's favorite foods. And as I mentioned earlier, both of her children said they no longer wanted to do any social media or even have smartphones, which they had at that time, because of the way Joy, her brother, and the rest of her family and cousins enjoyed living without the energy-draining encumbrance of social media and smartphone technology, which is not good for children.
Yeah. You know, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I was thinking as I was reading this that the book, we've lost what you have in this book, and it's, and it, I use the word wholesomeness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because what you write in here is really what the spirit of a child would be like, and the wholesomeness and the beauty and the innocence and all that stuff. But at the same time, kids have to learn lessons. What they're learning today, as you just pointed out, especially with social media and these, you know, the phones and all the stuff they do, it doesn't create wholesomeness in children anymore, Susan, but this book does.
Yeah, and that was one of my main purposes and intentions in writing this book, to get back to, and your word's perfect, wholesomeness, the innocence of young childhood. And my hope is that we'll generate a worldwide audience, because it will change the world in a positive and advantageous way. As Joy learns, in a world where we can be anything, I always say to make being kind top on your list. Kind to others, kind to yourself. I teach Joy, or the butterfly teaches Joy, about the importance of living by the golden rule every day. Most people don't even know what that is anymore. To make your life healthier and happier. So, and then some of the chapters are about paying it forward. I have a chapter on, you know, a unicorn is a horse with a horn, and an alicorn is a unicorn that also has wings, and her personal horse, Champ, a Palomino, turns into an alicorn in Chapter 10 to help fly Joy, who's riding on its back, down to a pond to save her little three-year-old brother who fell in. You know, so throughout the book, you have all these messages. And by the way, if you want to believe in angels and want to know more how to be connected to your personal guardian angels, this book is definitely for you. But I can't say too much more about that.
Well, that's okay, because I have a feeling you might be psychic, because maybe three or four times on an interview so far, I was about to ask you something, and you said it before I actually asked you the questions about it. So that's pretty cool. So, Susan, a little more on a personal side, you've been writing, you know, for all these years of your life. You've written so many books. How many interviews do you think you've done throughout your life?
Well, I've been, writing is absolutely my passion. I've been writing for almost 50 years. And as mentioned, I know I was born to be a writer. Mm-hmm. I know. When ideas come to me, I love that I can write them down anywhere. If I'm waiting in line at the grocery store, stopped at a red light, or when I wake up in the morning, often I'll go to sleep at night thinking things like, what should I write tomorrow? Like, for example, in the next chapter of Joy and the Butterfly, where do you want me to take Joy on her next adventures? What should I cover in the article that I have to write? And when I awaken in the morning, the ideas start flowing into my mind. And as mentioned, I keep tablets of paper with me everywhere.
Yeah. So I don't hear retirement in your future here. I don't think that's a word that's actually pretty much a part of your vocabulary. So what continues to motivate you? What continues to get you to do? I know you just told us about what happens when you get up and all that stuff, but what gives you the motivation to continue to do this? Because many people, after doing the same thing for so many years, you know, they call that thing called burnout, but I don't sense that in you.
And no, I would never burn out, because life is never boring to me. And with the work I do, every day it's a little bit different. It might be doing a TV interview. It might be writing an article. It might be making house calls to clients' home to help them with their health and fitness. So life is different every day. I do have to say I appreciate that I can do interviews online, you know, virtually now, and not have to fly so much around the world. Many people, Nick, think it's so glamorous to fly all over, but it can be really tiring. And one of the only times I get a sore throat is after I've taken the flight, because you know I don't get sick, haven't had a cold or a flu, and now over 45 years, I don't take any medication, because I learned from my grandmother as a teenager and then went on to study as much as I could for the next 15 years how to live close to nature and how to use healthy living practices and superfoods, herbs, spices, you know, how to keep my body healthy in the most natural way possible. And that's why, you know, we've even skipped a book. I wrote my last book, which is selling all over the world, called A Hug in a Mug. And that has two meanings. You know, first, yes, it refers to delicious, wholesome foods and beverages you can enjoy in a mug, like healing teas, juices, scrumptious soups. And I write all about all of these superfoods, over 100 of them, A to Z, which ones you can eat or should not eat if you want to be healthy and prevent disease or heal disease. But secondly, a hug in a mug refers to looking at your body as a magnificent mug. To me, it's a miraculous vessel given to us by God to take care of throughout our lives. So we need to give our bodies our one body, many hugs each day in the forms of wholesome nutrition, daily exercise, ample sleep, time in nature, stress management, positive social connections, an attitude of gratitude, uplifting faith, and more. Because health care starts with self-care, and it's our responsibility, Nick, to honor our glorious physical, mental, and spiritual mug vessel. It's all connected and working as one.
Susan, do you think people know what you're talking about but are unable to get themselves at all? You've been living this philosophy, at least as long as I've known you, and I have a feeling longer than that. You live this philosophy of life, the way you eat, the way you exercise, the way you sleep. I mean, all of the things that we all know we should be doing. So why is it so difficult for people to do this? Because you work with people every day. You see people and you see the issues that they have or the problems they have, or whether it's dietary or a lack of sleep or any of those things that you've written about, throughout your life. Why is it so difficult for people to do the things that seem to come so naturally for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think people are creatures of habit, and the way you've lived most of your life is the way you keep living, and it's not really easy to make changes. But it can be done. You and I have talked about this many times before, that you set the tone for your entire day, the first 40 minutes of the morning. So you've got to make the morning how you want your day, positive, not rushed, healthy, happy, whatever it is. But it also takes, as Benjamin Franklin said, whatever you do for 21 days makes or breaks a habit. So if you need to start drinking more water, not having dessert every night after your dinner meal, exercising a little bit every day, getting more sleep, you make a 21-day agreement with yourself. And by the way, on my website, in the search bar, put 21-day agreement. You have a sheet, free, of course, that you can print out and help you with these 21-day agreements. And you say, every day for 21 days, I, Nick, agree and commit to getting in, at least make it easy so you won't fail, at least 20 minutes of exercise a day. If you skip a day, you've got to begin back over again. After 21 days, you will have accepted this as a new habit in your life. Or if you gave up something like ice cream every night for dessert, you'll no longer crave it. Remember also, what you eat today, you crave tomorrow. And I do see that on those occasional splurges I have, it takes longer for my body to get back to that healthy place, longer than it did when I was much younger. So my splurges these days are not very often, and occasionally I'll have a splurge on something I eat. But you just have to make a commitment that you want to get healthier. You got to remember, I live in probably the health and fitness capital of the world. So every
true.
Few blocks, there's a health food store. And everywhere I look, people are healthy. That actually inspires me. And when I work with clients and I see them by the day and week getting healthier and healthier, it inspires me to keep doing what I'm doing.
Well, you certainly are a living the life that you tell other people and advise people to. I'll play another clip for you of a song. We'll come back. We'll get a little rap from you. But, folks, we're talking Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. Susan, where can they get this book?
You can just go to my website, my name, SusanSmithJones.com/joybutterfly. That will take you right to the page, tell you all about the book, show you the table of contents. You can read the review from Publishers Weekly, and that's where you can buy it in the ultra-premium color in hardback, paperback, and ebook. And I also am giving you free, there's a page in the book called Thoughts to Live By Daily. I have 21 vertical entries, two words each, like smile more, forgive others, take action, be kind, live faithfully, celebrate life, 21 of them in a beautiful frame, three different versions. It's a page from the book, but you can click on whatever version you want, print it out free to frame on your bedroom or office wall, to make into little cards for your wallet, to give away as gifts. It's right there at SusanSmithJones.com/joybutterfly.
Sounds great to me. We'll play a little tune for you, and we'll be back in a minute or two to wrap with you. Thank you so much. Folks, we're talking to Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, one of her favorite songs right here.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so not to give in. I said to myself, this affair never will go so well. But why should I try to resist when, baby, I know so well? I've got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats, repeats in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time that I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin.
Eyes himself, the chairman of the board, Frank Sinatra. I've got you under my skin. So, Susan, I want to give you a minute or two to give us a final thought before we let you go today.
Yeah, thank you. So let's just say, if you're reading this book for the first time, Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden, or you're sharing it with someone you love, it offers you a gentle and powerful message that there's magic all around us, if only we choose to see it. That's like one of the basic themes of the whole book. You know, it's for children, to help them become more compassionate. It's for adults, to remind all of us. And Joy and the Butterfly will help you open your heart, brighten your days, and guide you back to the true magic that has always been within you all along. I just want to get people back to, whether you're a child, Nick, or an adult, living a more wholesome, positive, optimistic life with real meaning and purpose.
Well, there can be no better message than that that we can end the show on. So I want to thank you, Susan, for being on our show. Merci beaucoup. À la prochaine fois. And au revoir, Susan Smith-Jones. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. Au revoir.
Bye. All right, folks, that was Dr. Jones on the show with us today. No relation to Indiana Jones, I don't think. But anyway, a great call, great information. Get a copy of the book, Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden, Susan Smith-Jones. Go to her website. That's where you get the most information and find out more about her. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Come back and visit with me again tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. We're excited about that. Think about all the stuff we've talked about today.